Time for the morning munch. Got a munch for us this morning, Tommy?
I do, and although it's not a happy munch, well, it's rooted in some more bad news from the church, anyway. We have had another high-profile person in the church renounce their faith. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Joshua Harris, author of Kiss Dating Goodbye, came out and said he was no longer a Christian. Well, now, Marty Sampson, you might not be real familiar with the name, but he's a songwriter for Hillsong. And one of their worship leaders has come out. Now, there's 8 billion people in Hillsong, but he's one of them and was one of their main songwriters. And he came out this week and said that he is now no longer a Christian and has gave all kinds of reasons.
What would you say? What would be? Is there like a main reason or a key reason?
This is what he said. I'll read just a short, brief paragraph from his thing. Here goes. He has said, "This is a soapbox moment, so here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet. They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving, but it's not for me." First of all, we talk a lot about all those things. I mean, anybody who's been in the church knows we talk a lot about all of those things. You know, the Bible and the supposed contradictions within it. There's books upon books upon books that have been written about that.
Written about
hell and the reality of God's judgment gets talked about a lot. I mean, these are all things that do get talked about. So it's a little disingenuous, I think, for him to say that. But, you know, as he says at the end, it's just not for me. For whatever reasons, and who knows? I mean, I'm not going to claim to know his heart. I'm not going to complain to know what happened. But one thing I think is happening is that we are seeing a culture where it's getting harder to be a Christian, right? I mean, for a long time, and we've enjoyed this in the West generally and in America particularly, where being a Christian was not only socially acceptable, but approved and encouraged, even among people who weren't necessarily believers, you know, still thought it was a good thing that, you know, if they didn't go to church, they were glad other people did, right? And we're happy for that. But now we're starting to see in America and in other places in the West that have traditionally been Christian societies where there's been more pushback against that, where Christians have come under a lot of criticism. Christian beliefs have come under a lot of criticism, especially in the realm of morality, where people are, you know, charging us with, you know, being small-minded and bigoted and all of that. And it's getting harder to be a Christian. And God told us that this was going to happen, that these things were going to come, that in the end days that there would be trials and tribulations. And one of the things that happens when those things occur is kind of a winnowing, where God begins to separate the wheat from the chaff. In Galatians, Paul talks about those who amend the teachings of the church, amend the teachings of the gospel, and says the only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. You know, sometimes, you know, it's easy to be a Christian when everybody's doing it and when it's culturally acceptable, but when we have to face persecution, are we going to stand with it? C.S. Lewis said, and there's a great quote from him in this article I was reading, about virtue, and he said, "Courage is the form of every virtue at its testing point." In other words, he said, we learn about courage by when our virtues are tested. You don't know if you possess a virtue until it's been tested. It's easy to say you're a truthful person until it's going to cost you something to tell the truth. Will you still tell the truth then? Will you be brave in the moment when bravery is actually required? And so what we're finding is, you know, do we have the courage of faith? You know, it's one thing to say we have faith, but when that faith is tested, are we going to have the courage of it? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, the writer of Hebrews warns us. It says this, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. For you need to persevere." And this is a word that hears a lot in the gospel. Persevere. You know, you don't have to persevere through easy times. If you're at a party and having a great time, nobody says, "Oh, I'm persevering this party." Right? You're just there. You're having a great time. You're enjoying it. It's when things are hard that you need perseverance. "You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." It's not going to get any easier to be a Christian in the coming days. It's not going to get any easier. These challenges to our faith are not going away. They're not just going to disappear.
It's not going to matter who the next president is or who the next Supreme Court nominee is or any of this other stuff. That's not where our hope is. The challenge to our faith and challenge to Christianity is going to continue. The question is, will we stand with courage? Now is the time that we need the courage of our faith to stand and to recognize, you know what? We may face criticism. We may face ridicule. We may face greater things than this. We've seen people who've seen their businesses destroyed and people trying to take away their livelihoods because of their faith and because they stood on their faith. You know, people trying to boycott Chick-fil-A. And, you know, we have that florist in Washington, the Jack Phillips, the cake baker in Colorado, and others who have faced great challenges. These aren't going away. It's not just going to disappear. And if we're going to stand and hold fast to the truth of the gospel, it's going to require courage. It's going to require perseverance. It's going to require, enduring with grace and courage and conviction and love, persecution. And we need to be ready for that. And we need to start steeling ourselves up for that. We haven't been called to do that a lot in our country over the years, but it's coming. You know, we're sad to see these people turn away from the faith. This is not something we should rejoice in. It doesn't please the heart of God. It shouldn't please us. But it also shouldn't surprise us, sad to say, because God told us it would happen. But as he's winnowing out those who, you know, are not going to stand, it's a warning to the rest of us. We need to ready our souls. We need to be those, as he says in Hebrews, not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Be confident in Jesus. Be confident in God, and he will preserve us. And that's our much this morning.
Thanks, Tommy. And we certainly shouldn't be saying, well, good for him. He left. It's good.
No, it doesn't make God happy.
Time to pray for the Hillsong Church.
I'm sure, it's a blow to them, you know. And I'm sure many people there are disappointed and hurt. It's unfortunate, you know, and it happens. And, you know, that's not an aspersion on everybody else there, because I'm sure many who are deeply devoted to Christ and were shocked and dismayed by this as well.
And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, this is going to continue to happen as we get to in these last days. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. So, but you said earlier, you know, that you talked about the chaff, the separating the sheep from the goats. We're going to see more of this. So we definitely got to pray and watching ourselves as well. Thanks, Tommy. And Tommy, can you pray for us and pray for, I forgot his name already, but for that gentleman that.
Okay, Lord, we do lift up your church to you, Lord, as we've seen a number of people stepping away from the faith. Lord, you told us this would happen. Lord, we know people stepped away from you when you were walking the earth. Even one of your own disciples turned and stepped away from you. And we remember Peter who denied you. And Lord, so we know that this is not to be, I suppose, unexpected, but as we know it breaks your heart, it breaks our heart, Lord. Desire as you do to see all those who profess the name of Christ to persevere to the end and to receive the reward of salvation. And so, Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for believers as you would strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, that you would finish the work that you have begun in us. And, Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord. Give us the courage of our faith. Help us to stand when things are hard. Help us to stand, Lord. You said the world hated you. It will hate us also. So, Lord, let us be ready for that. And let us be ready to respond not in anger, but in love and grace and mercy, but in boldness as well. Not compromising, not stepping back, not trading in the truth for the convenient lies of the world, but standing firm in your truth and holding out the hope of the gospel even to those who would ridicule us for it, knowing that some will hear and turn and be saved. And Lord, we pray for those who have turned away that perhaps if it's not too late for them, that they would turn back and Lord, that you would draw them back in as you drew back Peter. Lord, that you would return them to the fold as well. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
All right, Tommy, as always do on the morning munch, whoever comes in, to give them a chance to talk about their ministry or church. And we'd like to do that for you since you provided us our morning munch this morning.
Yeah, I'm co-pastor along with Pastor Don Reynolds of Gateway Baptist Church. We meet at 6047 Door Street. And we are meeting at 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 a.m. for our worship. We have all kinds of small groups meeting throughout the week. If you need more information, go to gatewaytoledo.com.
All right. Thanks, Tommy.